Sports with Katie Nolan is presented by Coors Light, the beer made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Carson Wentz, when you come back, I can't wait to see you play football. What are we going to do with Nick Foles? He's just like a brother to me.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sports with Katie Nolan. It's not there yet. It's not there yet. We're workshopping it.
Next week.
Well, I'll do it next week. My diet starts next week. I'm your host, Katie Nolan. I'm joined, obviously, by my producer, Ashley.
Hello.
Hi. No British accent this week.
Hello.
There it is. And we're also joined by Dop in studio, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay. So exciting.
That's how we say so exciting here.
I know.
On the podcast.
I heard Ashley do it last week, and it was really
inspiring?
Not good.
Oh. Inspiring is a word.
Yeah.
You could have used.
Could have used that word, but I didn't.
Well, welcome. Thank you for being here in person.
Thank you for letting me be here.
Very exciting stuff. Guys, today we're going to take a look back at the games that happened this past weekend because Ashley is an Eagles fan. I am a Patriots fan and Dop is irrelevant. We are not going to talk about the Super Bowl because we have plenty of time to do that. We're going to have to do another podcast. And I figured why not have one more week where we're friends?
Yeah.
Just hold on to every precious moment before we have to start disliking each other. So instead, we rewatched all the halftime shows, and we're going to determine the best one. We're going to do a little bit on that a little bit later. I was just going to ask if they thought that was good, and then I was like, oh, I don't care. It's our podcast, and this is the plan. By the time you give us feedback, we'll have already recorded it. Before we do any of that, we have one quick order of business, very exciting announcement. Guys, we have a voicemail box.
Yeah, we do.
Now, for the millennials listening, that is a place where you can call and use your voice to leave words for somebody else to hear. It's like a text, but out loud.
Yeah.
It's like an out loud text. We're going to start trying to integrate that. We're going to start trying to. That is just a verb sandwich.
Leaving it vague.
Yeah. We're going to try to start using voicemails in our podcast. Our first idea is call the number I'm about to give you and leave a question. And we will start the podcast off every week with a question from one of you. Because the show is called Sports with a Question Mark. So that'll be the question mark. The number, write this down. 860-506-5571. 860-506-5571. Don't leave inappropriate voicemails. Like, let's just be adults. Or, like, most of the time, not adults. But when you leave voicemails, like, someone's going to have to listen to all those. You know you're not going to make it onto the podcast.
Oh,
so
geez.
Just, like, don't waste time.
What my time.
Oh, you
mean,
oh, you mean
time.
If you leave a mean one, you're not going to make it on.
No, a mean one is fine. Just don't leave a message asking me what my bra size is.
Oh.
We're not going to use that. And it's a waste of your time, and it's a waste of Dop's time.
Yeah.
And it's a 38 quadruple D. So, yeah, 860-506-5571 for the last time. I feel like a used car salesman right now. Repeating the phone number. But, yeah, call, leave a voicemail, and we will answer your questions. Or we won't. Who knows?
TBD.
It kind of depends on you guys there, so come up with some content. Okay, let's jump into it. Let's talk about last week's games. My game was first, so
yeah.
I can go. You're way excited.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Do you want to go first?
No, it's okay. I'll let it build.
This is you in a couple of years. Like, the way I'm just like, oh.
Being used to winning?
Yeah.
Oh, that's optimistic.
Maybe. My parents came to visit this weekend.
The Nolans.
Because my birthday is this upcoming Sunday, and I have to go to Minnesota, so I'm not going to be like around to celebrate. So they came to celebrate my birthday, which is a little weird because really early to celebrate my birthday, but we went out to dinner and then I got to watch the games with them on Sunday, which was great, but it did very much change my game watching experience. I didn't have a note app open on my phone.
Oh.
I was mostly like trying to coordinate what food we were going to order with all the things everybody wanted and if we could make it happen. And
sounds
like
your
parents after the age of 30 gets like more stressful than enjoyable. I'm hoping that by like 35 it starts to come back to like we're all just buddies. But man, they are just, I just felt like a referee the whole day.
Oh.
They love each other very much. It's just been a long time, so I get it. But anyway, game was great. Saw a lot of people saying, obviously, Patriots only got one penalty called against them. Oh, the refs are on the Patriots. Oh, that guy, one of the refs, patted Tom on the back at the end of the game. Just like get that out of my face. Get all of that out of my face. The Jaguars lost that game in the fourth quarter.
They did.
Every single first down play was a run from shotgun. Every single second down play was a long pass down the field. Why? Why? You should want to bleed the clock. You have a 20-10 lead. Or you should want to set up third and manageable. But instead, they're throwing the ball down the field. It's like they forgot what they were doing. I recommend everybody go on Twitter, look at Warren Sharp, I think it's at Sharp Football. He has a whole thread of how he studied every single play in the fourth quarter by the Jags, and it was just they just fell apart. It was the game was theirs to win. They forgot what they were doing, or they stuck to some weird. I don't know what that was. It was just totally uncreative play calling. You could just totally see that, like, what was coming next. You think Bill Belichick can't figure that out? Of course he can.
Of course he can.
So, clock management, shitty situational awareness, and shut up about the refs.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
That's all you took away from that game. How did you feel?
Oh, Tell me about your feelings. Stressed out. I was super stressed out. It's not fun when you're, like, losing. We had this conversation earlier yesterday, and no one's going to care. This is not a sympathetic take. No one will be like, oh, cool. But it's almost like I tweeted right after the game, because I didn't tweet at all the whole game because I was very stressed. I tweeted like, oh, I finally just, you know, breathed out. And someone was like, oh, it must be so hard for you, Patriots fan. Look, hot take. When you're not used to losing, losing's actually a lot harder. If losing is a thing you do all the time, you're like, oh, well, we were playing with house money. Like, we probably weren't going to make it, so I'm just excited to be here. But when you're not supposed to, and you do, you're like, oh, God, this is going to be awful. I know. I don't get any sympathy. I'm not here for your emotions. I'm here to let you know the truth.
That it was hard for you, but you're still in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we're going to the Super Bowl. I get that no one's excited about it, but I also was thinking about that, and we should probably save this for next week, but, like, yeah, the Patriots have been in the Super Bowl a lot, but they've given you some real exciting, memorable Super Bowls. Overtime last year, the Seahawks Super Bowl, like, those were insane Super Bowl moments. Yeah,
both Giants Super Bowls.
I get that you're mad about the Patriots being back in the Super Bowl. We're just going to blow right through that. I get that you're mad about it, and I do understand the exhaustion of, like, you know, because I'm not a huge college football fan, and when I see the same teams every year, I'm like, ugh. So I get it, but also shut up.
The good news is there's a team in it that is not usually in it.
So how was your weekend?
And that's the Eagles.
How was your weekend?
It was really hard and then really, really good. Even though they were winning...
Like,
really early.
It wasn't close, and they weren't coming back. And I'm texting Ashley, like, man, this is so good. And she's like, shut up! Shut up! Anything could happen! And her husband emailed, like, by the way, Ashley is still, it's like towards the end of the fourth quarter, Ashley is still on the edge of the couch telling me to shut up, it's not over. It's like, Ash, it's over. I respect the attitude, but it's over.
I was basically, like, curled up in the tiniest ball, just, like, rocking back and forth, watching the screen, terrified that they were going to find a way to lose, because that is what I'm used to as a Philadelphia fan. But now that I had a chance to sleep on it a little bit and reflect, they looked so good.
Yeah, whatever.
They were such a complete team, and they kept coming through in important situations, on third downs, on special teams plays. They made some huge defensive plays that I was like, what, the game plan for this is masterful. Like, Doug Peterson.
Masterful, Daniel.
It was so
good. She just called it masterful.
You do realize, like,
masterful?
Yeah, I think it was. I think Doug Peterson, one, changed the offense for Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Like, we heard, I'm sure everyone heard the announcers kill the run pass option, the RPOs thing to death if they were listening. But, like, that's something they didn't execute under Carson Wentz. And they did for Foles. And he was a baller!
Yeah, I just remember you guys, I mean, at this point, I was drunk. I drank a lot during the Pats game to get through. What I remember is you guys kept getting first downs. It just kept going. Every time. It was like, oh, nope, they got another one. Oh, nope, they got another one. And the Vikings just couldn't.
Yeah.
It didn't. And it was so lopsided. But again, I'm not going to chime in here because I was not present.
As a non-Eagles fan, I just want to say this. I know this is sort of a hot take. I was all in on the Eagles and everything that was happening when Carson Wentz was, like, I was so stoked for a second year quarterback, and he was looking so good, and, like, good for him. And then as soon as Nick Foles took over because Wentz got hurt, I just sort of stopped caring about Philly. Like, the idea that they're, like, Nick Foles is going to lead Philadelphia to a Super Bowl, and then he's going to be replaced next year by the real quarterback. That storyline just doesn't really do anything
for me. It's weird. Are you like, what happens then? What are your thoughts on all that?
Like,
is
Carson
that weird?
Wentz hasn't won a Super Bowl. Nick Foles
is your,
won a Super Bowl.
Would be your Super Bowl winning quarterback, and then you go back to, like, what happens then?
So, I think most people in Philadelphia would agree
are
with
insane.
Me.
Yes.
No, there is a small percentage that are. Yeah. But I think most people in the city, we root for the team. We root for the uniform and the helmet and whatever.
I don't have any time
Here's
for
the thing.
This. Edit this out. Yes.
You guys
I
are
think
the
most
worst.
Of us, you know, we're the city of brotherly love.
No.
And we just love all of our brothers. And
if
you
you're
know,
gonna do it in the distressed damsel from the old west.
Please.
Yes.
Carson Wentz. When you come back, I can't wait to see you play football. What are we gonna do with Nick Foles? He's just like a brother to me.
That was gosh, it's my favorite.
It's I don't really
know.
Good.
You could say anything from. Mean you know to me that in is? That voice and it would be fine.
Good to know. I think it's actually an impersonation of Sarah Tiana when she's doing stand up.
Oh.
Actually when she's doing roasts. I saw her at a roast once and I saw her afterwards and I said, Sarah, you sound so much more Southern on stage. And she was like, yeah, sometimes you just play it up.
She's
like,
so funny.
Oh, David Ortiz. I was like, well, I want that voice.
And now you have it.
Well, I don't. I think people know that's not my real voice.
Okay. So we're going back a lot. Yeah. So you root for the team, right?
She's it's the same as she thinks that we wanted
like,
her to pick up that team.
I don't actually care about it.
We went on a tangent for a reason. I'm asking you, like, do you feel good kicking Nick Foles to the bench after he wins a Super Bowl for you this year?
I think, yes. Short answer, yes. Because this is bringing him back. Nick Foles, his career was essentially over. He thought about not playing football anymore. This has completely breathed new life into his football career. I think it does something for an individual who feels like, do I have it anymore? Like, we've heard other people say that, and this is a very firm answer of a yes.
Ashley, I'm falling asleep. I'm falling asleep while you're talking.
Would I feel good if the Eagles won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles? The answer is yeah.
No, the question is like, doesn't that suck then? Doesn't that put you in a weird spot? Don't you got to kind of let Nick Foles?
Like, wouldn't you rather have like the franchise quarterback be the Super Bowl winner than some like backup?
No, yeah, you'd obviously rather, but I'm saying like, what, isn't that weird? You guys win your first Super Bowl and then it's, listen, Nick Foles doesn't immediately become the hero of the city?
He is the hero until next year.
Until we put him back on the bench. Sit down, hero.
Beggars can't be choosers. Like you said, we're playing with house money. We thought when Wentz went down, it was over. Right. Foles is in. If we can do it, that's amazing. Still, we want to do it with Wentz for sure. But I'll take what I can get.
What if Foles pukes at the Super Bowl?
Oh. Allegedly or actually?
Either. What if everyone thinks Foles definitely pukes at the Super Bowl.
Do we still win? Because then it doesn't matter.
Game ends in a tie. Did you know games can end in ties?
Oh, guys.
Okay, we want to move on?
Yes.
Okay, cool. But before we move on, folks, got to tell you, today's podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek.
Yeah.
Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated and confusing. Who knows that better than you, other than me? There is a better way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, you're planning a night out, or you need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There is nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I've used SeatGeek for a while. I like it. The best thing about it is that they'll tell you what ticket is the best value. And they do that by like, this one's probably a better seat, but the price is real high. This is a little bit worse of a seat, but it's really cheap. So you get the best ticket that you can buy.
That's so helpful.
It's super helpful. I know I sound corny. I'm being serious. SeatGeek is how I get tickets to stuff. They save you money. They save you time. You get the most bang for your buck. Every purchase fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek. which is, they sponsor next week. So that's a betting company. It's SeatGeek. But I'm sorry, this week I got my ad reads confused. SeatGeek. You can shop there with confidence. So you should download the app. And you know why? If that's not enough to entice you, our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. So if somehow you've made it through life without using SeatGeek yet, now's the time. Okay. So you download the SeatGeek app. You enter promo code Nolan. That's N-O-L-A-N. You should know this by now. Promo code Nolan. You get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. So go do that. Buy tickets to something cool. And then tweet at me with a picture of it and be like, I went here for cheap because of you. Thanks. Because everybody likes compliments. Okay, we'll be right back with more pod. Okay, we're back. Secret information. We never left. We sat here the whole time. I didn't get up and leave. Dop left. He got a water.
I did, yeah.
I didn't move. I just want that to let the record show. I didn't move. I'm here for you guys all the time. And I love the troops. So Justin Timberlake is doing this year's Super Bowl halftime show, which we all know.
Mm-hmm.
He has a couple new songs out, one of which was called Supplies. He dropped a video this past week. I don't know if you saw it.
I did.
You did. I have a Justin Timber take.
What?
Yeah, I have a very hot Justin Timber take. For those who don't know, it's a take about Justin Timberlake. So the video for his song Supplies, I don't care to talk about the music or anything. What I want to know, it features a beautiful woman as his love interest. They make out. It's a whole bunch of stuff. Sex stuff.
Oh.
Sexy time stuff. From what I hear. That's what people do during sex time.
Okay.
Here's my take. If you're married to a beautiful actress, you shouldn't really be able to cast anyone else as your girlfriend, wife. Like, you're married to a... It's kind of just like a weird excuse to cheat. It feels weirder that way. If you're married to a beautiful model, well, yeah, but she can't act. You're married to a beautiful singer, well, yeah, but they have, you know, they can't... But why are you hiring an actress to play your wife and not hiring your wife?
Oh, as the love interest in his video.
Yes.
He should have used...
What did you think I meant?
Jessica Biel.
Yeah. He's married to Jessica Biel, who is an actress and who is smoking.
Yeah.
Why'd you hire a different smoking actress to play the role of person you make out with? If I were Jessica Biel, and I'm sure she's much more well-rounded and has her feet on the ground and isn't a crazy person like me, I'd be like, fuck you, dude. We're married. I'm hot. Have you seen my butt? Did you see when Chuck married Larry? What's the name of that movie?
Yeah.
I now pronounce Chuck
and Larry is what I said. That scene with her butt. It's like, whoa, look at that butt. That made me go, that's what squats are for. I'm going to start doing them. Granted, I stopped doing them 2 days later, but there, at least I thought about it. And now I think about it. She's perfect. And he picked somebody else to play the role of woman he gets to make out with. And it's not like maybe it just was above me. Maybe I just didn't understand this high concept Justin Timberlake video. But it wasn't like it needed to be them making out.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a, like no one was acting. It was just like, just a close up of them making out with each other.
It was very, it's very weird. Yeah.
It's weird. I think it's weird. Now, the only thing I'll accept as like, no, Katie, here's why, is if Jessica Biel was busy.
Because she is a busy yes. woman. She's so a producer.
So it is possible she was busy and she was like, just go make out with somebody else. I am so sick of your shit. But I will say that Jessica Biel EP'd her own show this year,
mm-hmm.
The Sinner,
yep,
and starred in it. So, like, she got to write who she was going to hook up with, and she hooked up with her little sister.
Oh.
Yeah. She hooks up with her little sister who's dying of cancer or something.
In real life or in the movie?
In the movie. Okay. In the real life.
USA.
It's a TV show. It was on USA is what I said. I said what I said, and I said USA. The Sinner on USA, she got to write it. And pick who she was going to hook up with the same way Justin did in his music video. She hooks up with her little sister who's dying, which that scene smacks you right in the face if you were watching that show. I was like, they're not going to. They did. She's f***ing her sister.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Let's.
Right. I didn't write the show, folks. I didn't write the show.
Wow.
Okay. That's what happens. Meanwhile, Justin Timberlake casting this Laura Croft hottie to make out with his music videos. I just think it's bullshit.
I want to say something.
Go ahead.
So Dave Myers directed and produced this video.
Okay.
It wasn't Justin Timberlake. That being said,
so?
I would think if I'm Justin Timberlake, I would get like a little bit of a say.
Yeah.
Like I could say
he's,
that I...
They're not going to go, oh, Justin, thou doth protest too much.
No.
You must make out with this beautiful brunette woman. No, if he said, hey guys, I can get you Jessica Biel, they'd probably be like, dope.
Great.
Cool. Bring her in. She's cute. Have you seen Chuck and Larry get married? Get Chuck and married. Have you met Chuck and Mary?
I now pronounce you Chuck and
Chuck,
Mary.
Chuck, meet Mary. Let's move on. Anyway, point is, he's doing Super Bowl halftime show. We know that he's done that before in 2004, Super Bowl 38. We know how that worked out.
Just a quick refresher. How did that work out?
We'll get that.
Okay.
I believe it was most affectionately called Nipplegate.
Oh, yeah.
So, I wanted us to go through all the halftime shows and pick the best one. Then I remembered I suck at deciding. I don't make decisions very well. So I was like, that's not going to be fun to listen to. But what I do when it comes to choosing dinner, I've got a method now. I take a list of like four options, and then I go back and forth with whoever I'm going to eat with, and we eliminate one at a time until we're left with one option, and that's what we do for dinner. I'm really bad at deciding this is like necessary. So that's what we're going to do here. I have a list of every Super Bowl halftime show since 2000. Ashley, you and I are going to go back and forth, and we're going to alternate eliminating one of these from the list until we get down to one, and that will be our best Super Bowl halftime show.
Awesome.
Important note here, I took the 2002 halftime show out of the running, the one with U2, because it was a 9/11 tribute, and no one wants to be the that eliminates the 9/11 tribute. It would have been the automatic winner because we respect the troops and the country. Mm-hmm. Eagles, Patriots, I think we're clearly Americans here.
Yeah.
So that one's out of the running. But every Super Bowl halftime show from Super Bowl 34 to 51, except 36, are we clear?
Yes.
Okay. I am going to start things off by eliminating the chronological first one, but the Super Bowl 34 halftime show, this was in the year 2000.
Okay.
It was Phil Collins, Christina Aguilera, Enrique Iglesias, a choir. There was Toni Braxton. The reason I'm eliminating it, and this is, we'll just go quick on this, they didn't sing any good songs. And from Dop, I think you said they actually didn't sing any songs, which I didn't know this when I decided, like, that's my first off the board. But what did you say?
I saw a thing from somebody online from How Stuff Works talking about how he was one of the drummers in that performance and how the entire thing was tracked so that what was playing in the stadium was a track, what you heard watching it was a track. So all the drummers, all the
fake
singers,
drumming.
Everything.
Fake drumming, fake singing.
Across the board.
Like not just lip syncing. This is lip syncing to the point of it's just taking it another step
yes.
further. Of like, we're not even going to play these instruments, but we're going to pretend.
The only thing that was real is the fact that their bodies were physically like on the field doing
yeah.
the thing.
But were they? So that's the one I'm getting rid of. We're taking Super Bowl 34 in Atlanta, Rams over Titans, by the way. That's off the board. No more. Ashley, your turn.
Okay. This might be a little controversial, so I apologize to the listeners already.
Wow.
I just want to make
sure. We're supposed to just be taking off the easy ones.
I'm taking it off the board. Right from the beginning. Obviously, that's the bit. Okay. 2006, Super Bowl 40, huh. Rolling Stones.
That's your first
that
off the board.
That is my first off the board.
I need one quick reason, and then we're going to move on.
They sounded awful. They sounded so bad. I should have written all my notes down.
Their guitar player was bad. And their guitar player is sort of like an iconic guy, but like there were a lot of wrong notes.
There were a lot of wrong notes. Speaking of wrong notes, how about Mick Jagger saying twy and twy? It was go back and listen to it because I didn't remember that happening, and I watched it back and was like, I twy? And it doesn't help that that's a line he repeats
over and over
throughout the song. And I twy. I'm like, maybe you should try. If you tried, maybe you could get the satisfaction. But if you're going to keep twying, I don't think anything's going to work out for you. Okay, Super Bowl 2006, Super Bowl 40, off the board. Okay, I am going to, with my next elimination, I'm going to get rid of Super Bowl 37, 2003. That was Shania Twain, No Doubt, and Sting. Shania Twain's lip-syncing in that is so egregious. I'm unclear on why she bothered. It was so egregious. And then No Doubt comes out, which was great. I love Gwen. This is peak Gwen, too. This is when she had on, like, the sparkly cropped bra mm-hmm. and then the pants that were really baggy that had a bunch of, like, pieces of fabric hanging off of it. And, like, this is peak Gwen. She had her hair in that style that we all wish we knew how to do, but we couldn't with the curls on the top of her head.
Yep.
Half up, half down. She came out and sang.
She did, yeah.
And Sting came out and sang. Although he seemed very uncomfortable with Gwen Stefani. He seemed like he was in the middle of, like, a tantric, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And trying not to peak. Like, it was very weird. Yeah, Sting's got weird sex stuff. So I'm getting rid of it because of Shania's audacity. I just think she came out and was like, oh, I'm going to wear an outfit that if anybody else wore, they'd probably get in trouble for it. But I'm Shania Twain, and nobody's expecting me to wear, like, a leather trench coat and a bustier and stuff with studs on it. And she kept waving at everyone really aggressively.
All the time.
Not to the beat of the music. It was like, hello! Like she saw someone she knew in the crowd. It was very strange.
Well, she wasn't singing, so she had to do something.
Right. But also, it's her and like seven dudes on guitar. And they did that bit a lot where the seven dudes, there's a keytar.
And
that's what
keytar.
Your face
that
is like,
what it was.
Don't forget the keytar. And they would like, the guys would all get in a group and she would go back to the group. And it's like, but why do you have that many guitarists? Why? What's happening right now? What is this? Who's enjoying this? I don't get it. So I am taking that off the board. Sting is wearing a half and half shirt that I couldn't figure out what half.
I didn't get that either.
What either half was. I literally wrote in here, Sting looks like he's trying not to.
Okay.
He does. Go watch it back. So that's it. So 2003, Super Bowl 37 in San Diego, Bucks over Raiders. That's gone.
Okay. I am going to go with 2011, Super Bowl 45. The Black Eyed Peas.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was another one to me that was not pleasing to my ears.
Mm-hmm.
Fergie's outfit of the glittery shoulder pads paired with a skirt.
Not good.
Ruined one of my childhood icon looks from Icebox from the Little Giants.
Yeah.
When she decides, you know, she's not a cheerleader anymore. Now she's going to play. That was very important to
me. Also a blatant ripoff of what Britney did. We'll get to it, but what Britney did with when she was like, oh, look, I have a sock on my hand, sport.
A ripoff, but worse.
Yeah, oh, a bad version.
Really
like,
bad.
It was like, I'm going to do a girly sports thing, but I didn't love it. Her fingernails were like claws.
They were so gross.
And I didn't understand it.
It was also really, like, I feel like they kept lowering their mics as the performance went on.
Because
it was horrible. And then Slash came out, which was great. But he had wanted nothing to do with Fergie, and then they just send him off like nothing, and there he goes.
Yeah, they played Sweet Child of Mine.
Which, her singing it was terrible.
I feel like you're doing a lot of Fergie hate. I want to hedge by being like, the reason you hold her to a high standard, she could do, she's better
talented.
Than this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a low for, I don't think she would look back on it and be like, loved what I did there.
I agree with you. Usher was nice.
Usher also came out, but he didn't dance as much as I wanted him to. He danced, but I wasn't like, whoa.
Yeah, I could have had a whole Super Bowl halftime of just Usher dancing, and I didn't get that.
I mean, who couldn't?
And for those reasons, I'm going to eliminate 2011 Super Bowl 45.
I'm glad you got rid of it. We also went down a wormhole of Where Is the Love is just a shit version of City High's What Would You Do?
Yeah.
Watch Remember that video for What a Would long You time. Do? Oh, what a good song. Okay, my next pick, this is already hard, just to be clear. Like, we've already narrowed down the obvious bad ones, for the most part. So, I want to be clear, this has nothing to do with my feelings about that particular Super Bowl at all. It's strictly about the halftime show. But Super Bowl 46, the year was 2012, Madonna, LMFAO, Nicki Minaj, MIA, CeeLo, get that out of my face. Here's why. Madonna, growing up for me, was it. My mom used to listen to her cassette tapes. It was her and Bonnie Raitt for me. She would clean the house, and then when we got a second cassette player, I would just want to be my mom. I would follow her around and listen to whichever. Oh, there was also Paula Abdul. So Madonna, Bonnie Raitt, Paula Abdul, that was the rotation. And I would listen to whatever cassette she wasn't listening to, and she would dust the house, and I would come up behind her and try to pretend to dust. But I wasn't doing anything. I just wanted to be like my mom. Madonna was everything to me. She played her set list for this. Vogue, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Music, Give Me All Your Lovin', I don't know what that is. Open Your Heart, Express Yourself, Like a Prayer. That's like, those are heavy hitters.
Yeah.
With a little soft moments in the middle that I don't care for. This sucked. It sucked so bad because it made me question, is Madonna getting old and so understandably not that good anymore? Or was Madonna not that good? Like, I had to go back and watch, after this halftime, watch old Madonna stuff to remind myself that, no, she had it. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to downplay Madonna. That's very impressive. You can do that at that age, at any age.
She was 50 at that time.
I know. But we're being honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was a disappointing halftime show.
I do think part of it may have been her footwear choice. She just looked so unstable in those boots.
She almost fell off the bleachers they had built in the back at
one
point.
She was also like hopping up, like, why are you hopping?
I know. And then they had that tightrope performer guy.
Yeah, so that was weird.
He was weird.
That was weird.
Also, and she just was like doing this to him, like, oh, come get it. And it was like, he's on the tightrope.
Katie's doing like a beckoning motion.
Yeah, that's what I was, come get it.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Also, controversial. Because that was the one where MIA gave the middle finger at the camera.
Yeah, that's quote unquote controversial. That's like post controversy. She gave the, she said, I don't give a, and it was that she said, and she gave the middle finger, and they bleeped obviously what she said, I think. Or she didn't say it. She said, I don't give a, and then she like self censored, but she gave the middle finger to the camera. That's another thing. I'm glad you brought that up. Nicki Minaj and MIA are in that halftime show. They are criminally underused.
Yes,
they do nothing. She has them do like a verse, kind of
a song no one knows,
that nobody knows, and they have pom poms. I don't need to have pom poms.
Also, but speaking of songs that nobody knows, can we go back to a thing real quick?
Oh yeah, no, we forgot to even mention in the, when you took down the Rolling Stones, the middle of their set.
By middle of their set, you mean of the three songs.
They played three songs. They played Start Me Up all the way through.
Yes.
Satisfaction, I think they added time to it. And in the middle, they snuck in Rough Justice, which we all had to Google. And when you Google Rough Justice, Rolling Stones isn't even the first like suggestion of the autocomplete. What the F is Rough? Nobody knows. Nobody cares. And if you look at the audience when they're doing that song,
they are stagnant.
Yeah, they're like, oh, so this is when we go to pee?
But we're stuck on the field, so we can't.
I will say the highlight of that Super Bowl 46 halftime show was CeeLo, shockingly.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was singing live. I would feel like I'd have to assume he's not, since I don't think anyone else did. And it would be weird for one guy to go, no, I need to sing live. But he was great.
In his band leader costume.
Yes, he did wear a band leader costume. Many, many do in these things. It's a running thread that people feel they need to either wear a piece of football paraphernalia or, you know, have a referee on stage, pom-poms, cheerleaders. Everyone's like, oh, what's football? Let's take this one thing. It's never a good idea. You don't have to do that, folks. We just want to see a concert. A dope concert. Dope 13-minute concert.
Yes.
Give me a free dope 13-minute concert. So, okay, I'm getting rid of Madonna.
See you later,
How
Madonna.
Do we feel? Are we okay with that?
I think your points were all valid.
Thank you.
Okay. I am going to go.
Oh, by the way, the Giants beat the Pats in that Super Bowl. I've mentioned it in all the other ones, so I thought I should mention it there. Go ahead.
Thanks for making sure we focus on
it. Go ahead.
Anyways, okay, I'm going with 2010. Super Bowl 44, The Who. Here's why. I loved their set.
Uh-huh.
I thought they sounded good.
Mm-hmm.
I was bored.
Okay.
I was bored and I felt like I was watching a bad commercial.
Now, so that's a fair point, because The Who's music has been used in television shows and commercials abound.
All over the place.
They are prevalent. But should be noted, this was part of the backlash.
Mm, yes, it was.
To the controversy. So you'll see, if you look at the list of performances at the halftime show, starting in 2005. So we got 2005, 2006, 2007, I guess, 2008, 2009, 2010. It was a lot of, let's be safe. Who do people like? Who's old? Who will play music? And maybe have some pyrotechnics. And maybe wiggle their hips a bit.
Like Mick Jagger.
Yes. They didn't want to go too far off the beaten path. I do respect that The Who started their set with Pinball Wizard. You would not think that's what they were going to lead off with.
Right.
And I loved that. And I thought their set, you liked the way their set looked. I did.
I loved
that.
Their set.
But you're right. You got a little.
I was snoozing.
But they did end on, like, Won't Get Fooled Again with the CSI scream.
Yeah.
Which is both awesome in an ironic way and dumb in a... I hate that that's now associated with CSI.
You can't hear it and not think about it.
Can't hear it and not think about it. Just like you were saying, car commercials too. It's just... It's too much. So, okay. Super Bowl 44 is out. That was Saints over Colts down in Miami. I care about the facts. Oh, man, this is already hard. And I feel like, okay. Okay. Super Bowl 39 in Jacksonville. Again, not that it matters, but the Pats did beat the Eagles. This was in 2005. Patriots, the New England Patriots, beat the Philadelphia Eagles. The performance was Paul McCartney. Here's why I'm getting rid of it. I love Paul McCartney and the Beatles. I feel like we've started like, here's why. I love them, but we just have to accept these are the rules of the game. You can't eat Mexican and Chinese and Italian. You've got to eliminate down to one. That's where the game happens. I'm getting rid of Paul McCartney. Number one reason, it came right after the Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson halftime show. So it was a sharp left turn.
Mm-hmm.
Or right turn. I don't know. I didn't mean directionally to mean anything. Just like it was like a 180. It did not have, it was not what we were expecting. We'd had a couple years of like, these nine people are going to get together and see what happens when you mix each other's songs into each other's songs. And then it was like, here's Paul McCartney. He's going to sing four songs. One of them's going to be dope, Live and Let Die. But he's going to bury it. It's going to be the third song he plays. He's going to end on Hey Jude. Ugh. Great song, but that's not pumping me up.
No.
Your last song is like, we're going right back into the next half of football after three more hours of commercials. You got to get the people going. You got to give the people what they want. So, also in Hey Jude, they had, you know, the audience will hold up signs over their heads and it'll make images in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
The images were, nah, nah, nah. It's like, what?
That's not even enough nahs, yeah. Technically, if you want to get.
Like, it's either nah, 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 nah.
Right.
Or no nahs.
Or no nahs.
Oh, imagine if he had Nas come out.
Ooh.
That would have been
brilliant. But he didn't. It was just him. And he also said, thank you, Super Bowl. And I hated that. Because Super Bowl is not a person, no. Nor is it a group of people.
Or a place or anything.
It's not a place. Thank you, Super Bowl. And for that reason, I'm out. Goodbye, Paul McCartney.
See you later, Paul McCartney. Well, this is starting to get hard.
I already said that. It's been hard, girl.
For the record, this was a lot of fun to go back and rewatch all of these.
Like, if you're listening, you really should go back
and
do it.
And you guys have like 6 hours on your hands to watch 17, 12-minute concerts. You should do it.
It's worth it.
All right, this is very challenging.
And let's be clear, this is kind of the point, right? Like, we're not shitting on all these Super Bowls, but when you do name one halftime show as the best, you're technically shitting on all the other ones. Yeah. So we're just doing it in a drawn out process. Everyone did a great job and they played a great game and we're so proud and happy for them, but we do have to reach a winner. I'm starting to just feel guilty.
Yeah. I don't think everyone did a great job, but I appreciate you saying it. Yes. So that it's just positive.
I'm the nice one.
Yes.
I can't even get through that without laughing. All right. Sorry, Ashley. Go ahead.
Okay. So you sound like you're about to be so upset about this because this is my favorite Super Bowl halftime moment.
What?
But I can't keep it as a whole performance.
Wow, this is strong.
I'm really struggling.
Oh, I know what it
is. My favorite Super Bowl halftime moment is when Beyonce and Bruno Mars have a dance-off.
Oh, wait, you're going to get rid of them?
I hated Coldplay.
No. Coldplay was bad.
Hated Coldplay, so I have to get rid of 2016 Super Bowl 50 Broncos over the Panthers because of Coldplay. Like, the whole thing was, just the setup was terrible. It was like the Shania Twain off the top. Like, you're starting with that, and then it gets really good, but then it stinks at the end.
I think what you're saying is that people of color cannot always save the outrageous moments of caucasity that happened. And that was just, that was so, Coldplay was so, so bad.
So bad.
Like,
really?
But let's be clear, Bruno and Beyonce were so
They were great.
Good.
They were fantastic, they can't pull everybody through.
Coldplay, so here's the thing. I think they ended, but we can't end with like Fix You. Like, that's such a slow downer song.
I wrote, Chris Martin f***ing loves togetherness. It's like, we get it, man.
He does.
At one point he like looked into the camera and was like, we love you all, wherever you are. We're in this together.
It was just such a cool moment to see him with like that kids choir doing like Viva La Vida. Like, that was
cool.
That
whole performance to me was like, this is the future liberals want meme. That was like a, like, Chris with kids. There's flowers in the audience. Everyone's wearing colors. He had on a dumb blazer.
Everything was dumb.
Knitted stuff. And it was, and at first, like when Beyonce and Bruno were going back and forth, he stayed in the back. I wrote to his credit, he stayed in the back. And then I crossed it off because he comes up to the front and he starts doing Uptown Funk. And you're like, no, Chris.
If we could just like keep those two.
Do you just hate Coldplay? Like as a band?
No, because that's such a cliche thing to say. I did not care for that performance as a Super Bowl halftime show.
Okay, that's
fair. I think it felt like it was trying too much to be an opening ceremonies.
Oh.
For the Olympics.
Okay.
It was too much like heal the world. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in the, it's just the Super Bowl halftime show. We saw a boob a couple years ago. It was too saccharine. Mm. I don't think anyone would ever look back on that. It's an easy W to be like, what a beautiful performance. When you really look back on it, you're like, it didn't stay with me. And it didn't achieve any of the things it wanted to. You can't be like, oh, it was all about equality. How do you not love that? Well, because I don't think it did anything to, that's not how you get it done.
There's not world peace
right
now.
Put flowers in people's hands and be like, I love you into the camera. I don't know that that's how we get it done. This is the Super Bowl. We're about to go watch a bunch of big dudes concuss each other. Like, I don't think that maybe we have a celebration of life and love and happiness. They spelled out believe in love in the crowd.
What a man.
Like, see?
Seriously.
I get what you're saying. I am taking the, it's very easy to go, how could you not believe in love? And I would argue if you believe in love, you're not like, you know what we should do? We should have the crowd hold up a sign that says believe in love. It just feels very fake. Oh, another important note. It was in the daytime. It was sunny. This game was in San Francisco.
That's right.
And they had fireworks and pyrotechnics and it just looked like smoke. Because that's why you wait till nighttime for the fireworks. I don't know if people knew that. But they don't look nearly as impressive during the day. So they had all this pyro stuff that just looked like bad. And I think that probably helped. It is really hard to eliminate a Beyonce performance, though. That was when she did Formation.
Yeah, it was so good.
Also important to note, that's when Bruno did Uptown Funk.
I know.
He had never done that because he had done the Super Bowl before, but that was pre-Uptown Funk, mm-hmm. which is the song you think of as, wow, what a great Super Bowl song. And so, God, that part was so good when they went back and forth and Mark Ronson.
Favorite part
DJing
of all Super Bowls.
Ever.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you've never won any.
well, I know which one I'm doing next time. Go ahead. Your turn.
Come back and bite me in the ass. I'm going to go ahead and eliminate who I thought you were going to eliminate, Katy Perry. The year is 2015, Super Bowl 49 in Phoenix, where the Patriots beat the Seahawks. It doesn't matter, but they seem to be coming up a lot, those Patriots. So I'm getting rid of Katy Perry. It was Katy Perry, Lenny Kravitz, Missy Elliott, and the ASU band.
Missy Elliott was so good in
Missy Elliott was fantastic, and I believe that was the debut of Skinny Missy. I don't think we had seen her in a while.
I agree with that.
She looked fantastic. Katy Perry was enough to ruin that. I don't know where to begin. So I thought you were going to eliminate this one when you said your favorite Super Bowl moment because Left Shark.
Left Shark.
Everybody loved Left Shark. I went back and watched it. Left Shark really didn't do that much wrong.
I remembered it being so much cooler
too.
In the moment.
I remember being like, wow, look how stupid. He can't even dance. And then I watched it back and I said, wait, did we mean her left or like
I wasn't sure which one it was supposed to be.
Because I don't know which one messed up.
I did the same thing.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
You guys, if you're listening, you should go back and watch that. Because it's just not as obvious as I remember it being. Maybe Katy Perry, Illuminati, went back and scrubbed all the footage of Left Shark being bad and replaced it with like a rehearsal. Wow, that's definitely what happened. Because Katy Perry, I'm sure you all know, is JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh,
I did hear that.
So she's in the Illuminati. I get it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you should Google it. There's a lot of stuff on the internet. Have you seen Loose Change? I'm joking. It's not as funny if you don't laugh. Oh, God. So some notes here. I wrote, KP is on f***ing drugs, dude. Here's the thing. I just don't think Katy Perry and I live in the same world. And that's not a knock on her. I would love to live in her world. But we were so distracted by Left Shark that no one ever talked about the human beach balls.
Oh,
there were human palm trees, human surfboards. At one point, she, like, bumps butts with a beach ball that has eyes and is a person. What's happening in her head? And that was one of five looks. She came out for this set on a cat?
It was a tiger or a...
Well, the song's called Roar, and I want to say it was like a female lion. What's important is that it doesn't matter. Nobody knew. And it was, you could see, uncomfortable for me was that you could see the people that had to control its limbs, and it was just, it felt very like, carry me, I'm Katie. And I have so many things to say, but she roared at the end of it.
I did not like that.
I didn't like it at all. And at the end of Roar, not at the end of the whole thing, she was standing on the liger, and it kicked up its feet, its front feet, and an actual lion's roar came over the loudspeaker, I guess is not the right word, whatever. And she like opened her mouth and went like, I can't. But she pretended to be the lion. It was very off-putting.
Yeah.
I would use off-putting as the adjective to describe this whole thing for me. I really didn't like it. Missy Elliott, I loved her part.
So good.
But Katy Perry ruined it for me. She came out and was singing songs with Missy while Missy was rapping.
Yes.
Like that part in Get Your Freak On when it goes, holla. Katy Perry was like, holla. Like sang it. And I wanted to reach into my laptop and go, stop, just stop. Take this part of the song to change your outfit again. Like, because at this point she was wearing an oversized jersey that didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Sports.
I had very strong feelings about this. I also know a lot of people love Katy Perry. I just think, as I said before, we won't see eye to eye on anything, Katy Perry and I. And I respect the world she lives in. I wish I lived in it, but I don't.
I thought Lenny Kravitz was an people don't remember how good what
he
did.
He was a delight.
He
did I Kissed a Girl, and he started singing it before she did. He came out in his with his guitar.
And it was great.
And went into the song, and it was like, whoa, damn, Lenny Kravitz. But again, then Katy Perry turned it into a duet, and right. I was out.
Here's a weird thing. Can I say a weird thing?
I haven't said any weird things I'm going to have to say no.
It's weird when this happened, because I don't know why this thought came into my head, but when she came out on the lion, and then I saw her, like, she was in this weird, like, fiery dress, and then I saw her with Lenny Kravitz. Was that supposed to be, like, Girl on Fire?
Like
from the Hunger Games, because Lenny Kravitz was the guy that did the dress that was like, I don't know why, for some reason that's what stuck in my head.
I don't know.
Probably because she's Illuminati. I think that's why.
I really didn't like that flame outfit.
I
understood it because it was probably hiding all the other outfits underneath it, because she made, I believe, four costume
changes. It was insane.
In 13 minutes.
Yeah.
It was too much. You just don't need that. You do not need to do all that. Again, Missy Elliott, fantastic. She ended it on Firework, which we knew she was going to do, and there were fireworks, and good for her, but I didn't like it. Katy Perry yelling, come on, Missy, do your thing! No.
No.
She's doing her thing. It's her song. You go. You're no Nelly Furtado, okay? You can't just hop on a song with Missy and sing. Let's get your freak on.
Is
remix.
It Furtado? I thought it was Furtada.
Oh, frittata is an egg, is a breakfast dish.
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh.
I don't know that it's, I'm 90% sure it's Nelly Furtado. But
it is frittata.
Definitely not frittata. I know that for 100%.
All right. I have to go next, and I want to rip this
wow,
Band-Aid
off. You're just going to jump. What if I wasn't done?
I'm sweating it. I'm
what
sweating
it. What if I wasn't done? Shooting on a star with a firecracker out the back is just so corny.
I need to get this over
with. It was
with.
The more you know star that
yeah,
came out.
It
really
sure
was.
And the more you know, the more you realize that was a trash halftime show. Go ahead, Ashley. We're ready
this
now.
This is so hard. I'm just going to say it, and you guys are going to have to deal with the consequences. 2008 Super Bowl 42.
Oh!
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
I think you're a terrible person.
I am. And I know that. And I love Tom Petty.
May he rest in peace.
Seriously, the most peace. He is so great.
More peace than anyone else has ever wished him. I want him to rest completely peacefully.
Like, so peacefully.
Rest in power.
His set list was American Girl, Won't Back Down, Free Fallin', Running on a Dream. All songs that I love. Running Down a Dream. I love Tom Petty.
But
the reason I'm getting rid of this is because it was just not firing me up for football.
Dop is shaking his head so much.
It was important.
I am. I'm really mad about this.
Okay. I need to also say that it was important to get back to the game for the Giants beating the Patriots, which I don't want to gloss over.
Okay. It's a halftime show. Game.
Yeah. I just
We're
really
talking
wanted
about the halftime.
I wanted
the
to
disrespect.
Watch the end.
This is what I want to say.
Go ahead, Dop. I was going to protect her, and now...
Not anymore.
I'm out.
Tom Petty did exactly, like, if you are, like, this was in the middle of that, like, safe halftime show time.
Mm-hmm. Started in 2005.
And Tom Petty came out and did exactly what you were supposed to do. He brought you the hits that you know, that you like to be able to sing along with and see. And so I think, I will say, we watched this when we were doing our pre-production right after, I think, the Rolling Stones, where I was just like, what are they doing?
No, we watched it after the one that I think came the year before.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
We went chronologically for the most part.
Oh, did we?
I think so.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
My notes did, and I don't know how I could have done that if it weren't.
But no,
I
get what you did right.
We had all agreed that the Rolling Stones were trash.
And it was like...
Not in general, just in the...
You played the four songs that, when I think of Tom Petty, like, that's what I want to hear.
Right.
And he did a great, like, the guitar player was great. Like, the music sounded good. Tom Petty sounded good.
Stop.
I don't know what you're doing.
I am trying to get us down to the very best one.
Well,
you can't have Chinese and Mexican and Thai food all in the same night. There needs to be one. It's my turn, and I'm going to eliminate Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I'm sorry.
I'm not standing up for her after she just felt the need.
This
to
was my coming
catch.
Back to yeah, you. No. For ragging on me.
When did I rag on you?
When you said...
I've never ragged on you once in my life.
I've never, ever
rag.
Once heard Katie ever
rag.
Do that to you.
We I've have never ragged.
Literal audio
How do you even
proof.
Rag? Teach me how to rag. I don't know how to do that. Cool, so Tom Petty's out.
Tom Petty's out.
At least that means I don't have to do it. So that actually kind of makes me feel a little bit better.
I don't feel good about that.
What's your twiddle hander? Twitter hander? Dang it!
What's
it.
Your twiddle hander?
leave ruined it in. It.
You leave that in. What is your twiddle hander? Everybody attack her on the internet.
Oh,
no,
that's
I'm
nice.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
JK, bro.
What's your twiddle hander?
Someone else go, please, now.
With my next pick, I'm going to eliminate Lady Gaga.
Mm.
2017, the last Super Bowl, guys. When the who won that game?
No one.
I thought it mattered. Thought it, last round, it seemed like it mattered. So since it mattered, it was the Pats. They beat the Falcons in overtime. First overtime ever in Super Bowl history. Anyway, look, this is unfair. I'm eliminating Lady Gaga, who is incredible, for reasons out of her control. Number one, recency bias. I don't want us to pick her because we just had it. That's kind of not fair. And number two, I worked during the halftime of that Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a bad mood, obviously. At that moment, because the Patriots were getting smoked in the Super Bowl and I didn't like it. So here's another reason, the biggest reason. I don't know if non-degenerates know this, but you can bet on what the Super Bowl halftime performance, what song it will start with. And it's every hit from that singer. And obviously the odds are different. She opened up with God Bless America, This Land Is Your Land. No one had money on that.
Could you even bet on that?
No. There may have been, some sites may have had, like, other.
Oh.
But, like, and then she goes in a poker face, which was what I picked.
Oh, no.
And it was just like, oh, I would have, technically, they should change the wording to be like, what's the first song of theirs that they'll play?
Right.
Yeah. Those are the reasons I am eliminating Lady Gaga. Does anyone have any huge objections with that?
She did jump off into, like, a pit.
And she caught a football. She actually caught the football, right? Didn't she? Like, midair?
Again,
that's how most footballs are caught.
Angry.
No. Oh, while she was jumping.
Like, she was jumping. And I only say that because, like, as I'm, you know, like, you wonder. Like,
not
that's
to,
not her thing.
Not enough to keep it in, but we just want to give the credit where the credit's due.
She deserves a whole lot of credit. She did a lot. She's wonderful. I think I was banking on her doing something crazy so I could go, guys, the internet is blowing up about blank. And she didn't. So, goodbye, Lady Gaga. Thank you.
Okay. It's time.
Oh, no.
Yep.
It's time for 2004. Super Bowl 38. Again, the Patriots.
What?
Nipplegate.
What?
It's got to go.
What?
It's time. Do you want me to go back to Pats over Panthers?
No. I'm shocked that you're eliminating this Super Bowl halftime show.
Well, there are a lot of reasons.
Okay, I'm going to need you to start giving me some because what the f***?
Wait, you think that should be the best one ever?
Not what I said, but I certainly would eliminate a bunch of others before it.
Okay, so this to me was the most infamous.
Let's go over who performed because a lot of people forget. It's the Janet Justin, so people don't ever talk about Jessica Simpson. There were some marching bands, Janet Jackson, P. Diddy, Nelly, Kid Rock, and Justin Timberlake. Go ahead.
Proceed. So Jessica Simpson doesn't actually perform.
I was hoping you'd make that point. Yeah. The set list number one was Choose to Party by Jessica Simpson. And I was like, I don't remember that song. What is that? It's Jessica Simpson in a band leader's uniform yelling, Super Bowl, choose to party.
Because that was the whole year that they're doing the Choose to Vote
choose,
thing.
Yeah, it was Choose or Lose, I think, was the MTV. MTV produced this. MTV did not ever produce any others ever again. Go ahead with your reasons.
Okay. This one to me was obviously what set off the run of very conservative, right, singular male band performances. And it was because it was real grungy. There were so many things wrong with this. My notes I have written down, Janet is dressed like a pirate with a wedding dress train.
Oh, yeah. They had that. First. She had on the leather outfit, then it had the white puffy train in the back.
Yeah. It was like, there was, I thought Nelly was really good in his performance.
He came on in a toy truck.
He came on in a toy truck and like did like a simultaneous duet. That's, most duets are simultaneous with P. Diddy. And it was like, oh, like 90s and 2000s.
They did,
like,
oh, Diddy, you're so fine. You're so
that
fine. You
was
blow
so
my mind.
Weird
and then,
to me.
Oh, Nelly, you're so fine. And I'm like, first of all, neither of them are fine. I think we can all agree. We can like their music and think they're cool, but neither of them are fine.
And like changing Hey Mickey was just bizarre.
Yeah, and cheerleaders.
So weird. I did like Nelly's performance.
Right. So you thought Nelly did great.
Yep.
I was in.
Sorry,
wait.
Go ahead. I know.
Nelly performed hot in here.
Yes.
And the cheerleaders rip their tops off when they say, I want to take. And then they rip their skirts off when they say, my clothes off. So we had women, they were already scantily clad,
they
cheerleaders,
were.
And they ripped their tops and their skirts off on the line, I want to take my clothes off. I just want us to bank that for when we get to the inevitable thing that happens later so that we can go, oh, so it really wasn't just this one moment that Janet took the fall for everybody.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Diddy also took off his giant coat.
Thank God.
There was
God,
a lot of that. There was
a lot of
removing clothes in this one. They said ass and didn't bleep it.
I saw that.
Wow. I'm writing a letter.
My goodness. So then.
Who was it? Kid Rock?
No, I think it was Diddy.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then Kid Rock comes out in an American flag poncho, which
I think it was just a flag and it was ripped a lot. It was a real, I think it was a real flag.
That's not patriotic.
No sh- It was, I think it was, I maybe I'm wrong. It was just like frayed on the edges. Just like, you're doing everything wrong.
So much worse.
So bad.
So much worse. He takes that off at some point. There's just a lot of like, so much like gross, grungy,
women waving
grinding.
Flags sexually during the cowboy.
And then all the sex appeal goes away when Justin Timberlake comes out in khakis.
He did have khakis on.
It was so weird. He looks like Nick Vile. Like, I was like, what is happening right now?
I had a really low res video that I was watching. So I was like, are those khakis? Is he coming out in like a Gap 2002, like something out of the catalog? What is he wearing?
There's like so much humping with Janet.
He kept trying.
Yeah.
It made me uncomfortable to watch back. He kept pulling her towards him, trying to hump her. And she kept being like, I'm dancing.
At one point, there's like a finger in a mouth.
Ooh.
Like, it's gross.
Ooh.
It is. And I know that I've gotten conservative in my old age. But like, looking back, I'm like, the Nipplegate part of it is just one piece in this puzzle of just not great.
I want to point out, this was straight hair bangs, Janet, which was a really good, sexy Janet. Even the pictures of Nipplegate, every freeze frame, she never does that weird thing where like your neck becomes your chin. And she never has a weird photo. She looks perfect that whole time. And they did Rhythm Nation. I think they could have done that better, but man, I love me some old Janet. She was yelling like, ignorance, no. Bigotry, no. Illiteracy, no. I'm like, oh, I don't know how we got here, but I do know to all those things.
Know to all of them.
Yes, Justin had khakis on, and yes, we saw her boob. What's wrong?
I just want to say one thing.
Go ahead.
There have been a lot of marching bands in Super Bowl halftime shows.
Not all of them have played I Like the Way You Move.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
I hated it.
I Like the Way You Move was great.
I felt like they were so like mechanical, like a bunch of like white dudes trying to like play this song that they were not good at.
Oh, that's fair. I think I was more, I only watched it once this time.
Sure.
And I think I was so blown away by, oh, that's Jessica Simpson's credit.
Right.
That like while I was writing that down in my notebook, I'm like, oh, I Like the Way You Move.
You're like,
that's
oh, that's
cool.
A cool song.
Yeah. But you're right. I mean, I guess we don't need the marching bands.
So biggest reason
okay.
that I am taking this off the board, aside from, you know, its infamy, is that it then led to all of the most boring Super Bowl halftime shows for like a decade. Not a full
except
decade.
For, but with the exception of like two that I really liked.
Which are we are getting to very soon.
So you must be talking about Tom Petty is one of them. What was that?
I would like to be clear. We don't understand, you know, when you experience history and you're alive for it. And when you look back on it and you put it into context, we gained a lot from that halftime show. One of the creators of YouTube said that that's why they started YouTube. One of the main reasons, because people wanted to see that video and couldn't find it. So they started a service that would do that. TiVo, what we used to, before the pre-DVR, got 35,000 new users that next day because people were like, I want it. It was the most TiVo'd moment ever, the most rewatched moment ever. And people were like, that's why I need a TiVo so I can see that boob. So that, obviously, TiVo isn't like an industry leader now, but I think that like that's part of what made DVR ubiquitous, and it's like a thing that now comes for $10 a month or whatever on your cable. It also gave us the 5-second delay.
Mm.
So thanks. I need that. Also, there was a 1-hour long Making the Super Bowl halftime show that was supposed to air the next week on MTV. It was a special. And it never aired, and it still has never aired.
Let's find it.
I need to see it. I think enough time has passed, they should just release it. That's my strong take. I don't see why they wouldn't just do that. And lastly, they took Playmakers from us. Playmakers was immediately canceled after that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought this was all positive thing.
Oh, no, sorry. That was one negative one. That was one negative one, is that we lost Playmakers.
So definitely momentous, but not good enough for that number one spot.
Also, does everybody remember that, like, right after the halftime show, a streaker ran out in the field and he had written Super Bowel on his chest?
Stop it.
Yeah.
That's not true.
And on his back, it had the name of, like, an online betting site. And he was wearing half a football covering his two little footballs.
Downstairs, yeah.
And a G-string.
That's amazing.
And he ran out onto the field. But everybody was upset that we saw a boob.
Right.
Super bowel. But can't
I never
have a,
heard that.
Can't have a boob. You definitely knew, you just forgot.
Probably.
Okay. So we're getting down to the nitty gritty here, and I'm going to dive right in. What's wrong?
There's five left.
Okay. We have five left. This is really hard. I feel very strongly about a lot of these. I am going to eliminate 2014 Super Bowl 48.
No!
Bruno Mars and the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah. No, you cannot.
That's the right move.
Do I get a veto?
Nope, you don't. Your name is not
on
the podcast.
Oh, my gosh.
That was your favorite
That's
one ever?
That's my favorite one ever.
Well. Oh, wow. I kind of almost want to hear why. Look, I'm going to say this. If we didn't prep for this podcast and we just went off of memory, Bruno Mars would probably come in second for me. I loved that halftime show. Watching them back and also putting them in context, I think I loved the Bruno Mars one so much because it was expectations versus reality. I didn't think I liked Bruno Mars. Up until that Super Bowl halftime show, my take on him was I liked his songs better when they were other bands. Like, I thought every song sounded like a different band's song that already existed. I don't remember specifics. I remember there being one that sounded exactly like a Police song. And there were a couple of those instances. So I didn't like him. And he came out and performed his butt off because he's Bruno Mars. And now we know that's what he does. That game was boring and sucked. That game started off with a snap that went over Peyton Manning's head. It started off with a safety. Was how that like set the tone for that Super Bowl. And so by halftime, I would have taken anything. I would have taken people banging on a drum, but not really banging on a drum, just pretending to. I think I was overwhelmed by loving him because I was so bored.
Okay. Now that you say this.
One quick thing.
Yep.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers, it was like we kept them in, we locked them away somewhere and let them out for this performance. It was like they have not changed at all. And I loved that. And I also loved that for most of their performance, Bruno went off to the side and like enjoyed it with his friends instead of trying to make himself the center. I loved a lot about this performance. But looking back, I think what we know of Bruno now as a performer, he didn't do as well in this as he would if he did it right now. It was not even as good as his performance two Super Bowls after. But you can make a passionate case.
Yeah, I can't because
just make
I'm
one
too
point.
Upset right now.
Just make a point.
My only point is that I did not know or care for Bruno Mars, wasn't a big fan of the Chili Peppers, and I watched the Super Bowl halftime in one of the most boring Super Bowls ever, and felt like it actually changed my life is strong. But wow. Like, I became a Bruno Mars fan after this.
Okay.
And
I apologize.
It was like, it meant a lot to me, and I'm going to go pout in the corner. Oh, shoot.
You didn't make a solid point at all. Okay. I'm glad we included it. You can cut it out. Yeah.
Okay. Am I doing this again? Oh my gosh.
At this point, it's everyone's going to be mad about every choice we make.
No, no. This means I'm going after it's like.
The Beehive? You can't.
No.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm attacking.
Go.
2007 Super Bowl 41 Prince.
No! What?
Are you serious?
Well, oh, man.
Here's why. The Bruno Mars halftime meant a lot to me because it changed my taste in music.
We already changed that one.
I understand. This is why I'm picking this one, because I was never.
She knows it means a lot to me and she wants to come.
I would like that to retaliate.
I know Katie likes this one a lot, so it's gone now. Did you see when the guitar looked like it was his penis?
I did. I also appreciate performing Purple Rain in the Rain. The whole performance was great. All the songs were really good. Prince is iconic, but he just didn't mean that much to me, and so I was kind of like, eh, on it.
He played covers.
Yeah, that part was cool.
Foo Fighters songs and made them sound like new songs. That wasn't like, oh, why are you singing someone else's? It was like paying incredible homage to other people's music. Was there a woman that sang Rolling on a River with him that I am not able to identify even after hours of digging on the internet? Yes. Was that weird? Sure. But other than that, he played covers. He played All Along the Watchtower.
So he did a Queen cover, he did a Bob Dylan cover, he did a Diana Ross cover, and he did a Foo Fighters cover. Like, you couldn't be more eclectic with your choices there to show Tina Turner, not Diana Ross.
Like, Diana Ross.
Also Proud Mary.
The idea that he can be eclectic of, like, I can do all of these different styles of
music. You want to talk eclectic? He had his hair up in, like, tied up in a bandana, yep. And then he took the bandana off. And it looked amazing. He was perfect.
He was so good.
He was perfect.
And it was raining. Like, as a musician, to play the guitar in the rain, like, that is so difficult.
Guys,
so hard.
So sad that we're getting rid of him.
And you know why I think I'm so upset? This was in Miami. It was 2007. Why I'm so upset is because if Prince were still alive today, I think he'd be doing the Super Bowl this year. And it's... Like, watching that back was like, man, we really lost something.
Yeah.
We're missing out.
Rest in peace. Also the most peace.
Since you just sent him home. All right, since we're getting controversial, I'm just going to say it. I'm going to eliminate 2009 Super Bowl 43. Steelers beat Arizona and Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. Great concert. Very well done. Except... Bruce said, put the chicken fingers down, don't tell me what to do with my chicken fingers. Bruce Springsteen.
Sure.
You're not the boss of me.
I get it. Okay? I get it.
Okay. And then second of all, he did this bit at the end of Glory Days. The set was, is it called 10th Avenue Freeze-Out? Is that the name of the song?
Yes, that is.
Where he did slide his crotch into the camera. Which was like, hey, we're trying to avoid that here.
His
face was like, my bad, my bad. So he did 10th Avenue Freeze Out, Born to Run, Working on a Dream with a choir, and then Glory Days. So at Glory Days, at the end, he's doing a bit where he's like, I think we're going to get called for a delay of game. Like, we got to wrap up. He's pointing at his watch. And then some dude dressed as a ref comes up onto the stage and throws a flag. And it was just like, what? Why'd you... What?
Didn't need it.
Why'd you do that?
Didn't need it.
You were doing really well. But to Ashley's point, it was a good set that I didn't dislike at all. But it's just, it wasn't like, oh, remember that moment? Remember that feeling?
So feeling for me, I do remember, because that felt like football to me. I was like pumped up for football. And I don't know if that's just like classic rock, like Born to Run, like Glory Days, come on.
And the audience is so into it, which I do love to see. And we did all remark that it sounded really full. The band, obviously, the Street Band has how many people in it? 95 people in the band. But it sounded so full. And that was one of the better sounding ones we've heard, I think. But also has to go. It has to die. And I'm sorry. but I'm not as sorry as I could be. Okay, let's go through what we have left. We have the 2001 Super Bowl in Tampa, Aerosmith, NSYNC, Britney, Nelly, Mary J. Blige. My God. And we have the 2013 Super Bowl 47, Beyonce, and kind of Destiny's Child, but Beyonce.
And they tie.
Yay! Congratulations to everyone. Man, this sucks. Because let me say, again, rewatching them all yesterday has put a different vision in my mind. I was blown away by Beyonce. Beyonce has a thing that everybody wants to have that not that many people have. She started that set with a Vince Lombardi speech. The lights are still out. You're not seeing anything. Then she sings Love on Top a cappella in the dark. The lights don't come up on her until after. And her face, like, I get it. Everybody loves Beyonce. And I think that people get so caught up in like, oh, everybody loves Beyonce, so I'm going to be contrarian. Go back and watch this Super Bowl performance. She's in another. I wrote, this woman is incredible. I wrote, in Crazy in Love, she sticks her thumb. She like licks her thumb or she like sticks her thumb in her mouth and the camera is on a close shot of her. I felt that. She's so hot.
Oh, I was like, what? She,
it was
did
just,
you, feel?
You have this moment of like, okay, I don't normally have these feelings. She's perfect. She had an all-female band on stage with her.
That was really cool.
So badass.
Yeah.
The choreography was incredible. At one point, her backup dancers were her on a video screen. Just other Beyoncés, which is being like, I can't get better backup dancers, so I'm just going to get me. If you can't trust anybody else to do it yourself. She did Baby Boy without Sean Paul, which you would think, like, what are you doing? She crushed it. She got, like, all into it. And she was like, Dette Wine. I was like, oh my God, I am in love with this woman. I don't remember loving this as much as I did when I rewatched it. Mm. I rewatched it and was like, she should only be the one who does this. Then she has Michelle and Kelly. I remember before the Super Bowl, there was all this talk about, is she going to have them or not? They pop up out of the floor, literally pop up out of the floor. She keeps them for two Destiny's Child songs. What do they do? Bootylicious and Independent Women. Then they start playing Single Ladies and Beyonce goes, will you two stay with me? Aww. And she lets them stay. I'm like, who gives a sh** about Michelle? And they sing Single Ladies with Beyonce. And then she's like, she gives them their due. She's like, Kelly and Michelle, everybody claps. And then she crushes Single Ladies on her own. And she says, Halo. She ends after all that dancing and all that singing. She sings Halo. And it sounds perfect. Mm. She is feeding. No.
Sorry, keep going. This is my one knock against this is I wouldn't have ended on Halo.
And I wouldn't have either, but it was that impressive that she'd been dancing and singing after all these people we've talked about didn't sing at all, didn't even play their damn instruments. She did all of that and then was like, I'm going to still hit these high notes. That's incredible. It is not the song she should have ended on. I'm not picking her. That's what I'm getting to. I want to make it perfectly clear how obsessed I am with after rewatching that. It was so good. They couldn't even turn the lights back on afterwards. I had to make the bad joke.
So let's not gloss over this. So you're not picking Beyonce.
The reason I'm paying all of these compliments to her is because I'm eliminating Beyonce.
Wow.
I think it's the right move.
Here's the thing. And it's not, it's my personal choice. I'm not saying everyone should feel this way. I'm sure a lot of people are still mad. Remember how mad we were at Ashley when she got rid of Prince and Tom Petty?
So mad about that.
Remember when Ashley eliminated all those people we love? So please don't come for me. It's just that I was, the stars aligned in the 2001 Super Bowl halftime performance. It was everything Katie needed
that year.
Like, it was a full show. They got a bunch of names, and if you saw those names together, you're like, what? What are they all going to do? And then they did it. They did each other's songs. Again, this is Aerosmith, NSYNC, Britney, Nelly, Mary J. Blige. They, NSYNC did It's Gonna Be Me. And when it ended, you know, the big It's Gonna Be Me at the end, Steven Tyler did that. And then went into Jaded. I hate that Jaded was the song that he chose. I'm not, there's so many better songs. It doesn't matter. At the end of Jaded, NSYNC sang the, and I'm the one who jaded you. They were like handing off each other's songs. But the one everybody thinks about is Walk This Way. That is what a Super Bowl halftime should be. That one song, that moment, that feeling when all these random, oh, here comes Nelly and he's doing a verse from E.I. And here's Mary J. Blige, who, for the record, is criminally underused.
Yeah.
Criminally underused in this halftime show. But Britney Spears. That look. If you don't remember what Britney wore, I don't believe you, first of all. Because it's burned in all of our minds. But she was like that. I don't have words. It was so, she was so cool and so pretty. Is she the greatest singer of all time? Absolutely not. But what I'm looking for from a Super Bowl halftime show is like people on stage that I can never go to a concert and pay to see them on stage together. And this was a group of people that I would never see on stage together. All doing shit. That being said, I cannot believe we were fans of NSYNC when they wore what they wore. Like, what is Joey Fatone wearing in that performance?
It really was an embarrassment of riches, yeah, having all of those people together.
It was my, it's the, when I think Super Bowl halftime show, I think about this one. And that's why I'm picking it. I'm not going to go to sleep tonight happy about having not picked Beyonce, given how I think that is the pinnacle of Super Bowl halftime shows. But this is the one that I remember forever.
So I want to say this. The reason why I think this is above Beyonce is because Beyonce did Beyonce and she killed it.
Crushed it.
Absolutely crushed it. But this was so many different random artists all coming together in a moment where it's like, I can't believe that they fit and they mesh as well as they do. And there have been so many times where they've tried to replicate this in past Super Bowls where it's like, oh, I thought, you know, maybe Bruno Mars and the Chili Peppers or Madonna and CeeLo and all of the, like, you're trying to, they're trying to like do this again and yeah, they can't do
they
it
can't
again.
Replicate it. It yeah, is perfect. And it was like the camera work or the stage direction. They were moving all around the stage and the cameras were tracking them like an Aaron Sorkin movie. Like it was all these walk and talks and nobody missed a beat.
Yeah.
And that's insane.
They were so
like,
in sync with each other.
In Beyonce's, that's funny. In Beyonce's, Michelle ran into a backup dancer. I don't know if people noticed.
I did. I watched it on loop a couple times.
But mistakes happen. They didn't happen in this. It was so, it was just everything you wanted as a kid. I loved NSYNC. I should have fact checked this, but I think Justin and Britney were dating at the time, but they weren't usually on stage together. And so it was like this exciting moment. Man, if Chris and Joey didn't show up, that would have been fine too.
Well, congratulations to Aerosmith, NSYNC, Britney, Nelly, and Mary J. Blige.
They've been waiting for this. Also, I failed to mention, it started with a video intro, which a lot of them have, but this one was specifically made for this performance, and it was Dodgeball.
Oh, yeah.
And NSYNC getting like a pep talk from Ben Stiller's character in Dodgeball, which at the time was like, oh, my God, that's so cool. It was a very MTV thing to do. Because this is when MTV was allowed to produce these things, which, again, they no longer are at all. Justin had pyro gloves on.
He did.
That let's not overlook that. Justin had gloves that when he pointed, fireworks came out. He had to take them off eventually because those are dangerous. But he had on firework gloves. It was amazing. So that's our winner. Cool. I don't feel, this bit doesn't feel good. We may have learned in the future, maybe this is the last time we do this bit. I don't know. It's not nice having to be mean to everybody and eliminate them. That doesn't happen with Chinese food restaurants or Italian restaurants or Thai restaurants because I'm not attached. I'm very attached to a lot of these people. But I hope this journey was interesting and fun for you guys to come along.
I actually really liked this.
You did?
I like listening to you have to like make tough decisions.
It's not fun.
Like the agony, I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah.
I'm seriously going back and rereading all these things I loved about Bruno and Red Hot Chili Peppers and being like, oh, I should have said that. I should have said that.
Yeah, you literally said nothing. You got really mad at me
panicked.
And then you didn't say anything.
My feelings were hurt.
Yeah.
They started with kids. They had like troops come in with like video messages.
That was beautiful, but don't bring the troops into this.
That's why I needed to bring it in.
I respect them. So, the most respect. Kids.
The most respect.
Rest in the most peace. So that's it. That was our, we didn't name it, the Eliminator game that we'll probably never play again because it has left emotional scars and some physical ones. Ashley threw some stuff at me halfway through there after the Bruno Mars pick. All right, guys, that's it for the pod. Thank you for listening. Thanks, Ashley. Dopp, thanks for making the trip.
Hey, thank you.
It was cool to have you here.
It was cool. I did make a big mistake.
Uh-oh.
Well, earlier because I got lunch without you guys, and then you made me feel real bad.
I wasn't going to bring this up.
I know.
Talk about physical scars.
You want to tell people where you got lunch and then ate it in the conference room alone without bringing any for anyone else? Go ahead, tell them where.
You guys were in the middle of doing I thought
tell
you were doing the snap.
Tell them where.
I went to Shake Shack.
He went to Shake Shack.
We don't have one in Connecticut that's close to me.
There isn't one that close to here either.
No, I had to walk a long ways to get there.
And then you got one burger.
Ashley told me to go get lunch and come back, so that's what I did.
And you didn't think, after seeing us talking about Shake Shack yesterday.
You just ate it yesterday.
I wasn't going to mention that part. Seeing us talk about it. You didn't think, oh man, they loved Shake Shack. I noticed that Katie brought Shake Shack back for everyone.
It was so nice of you.
She went to Shake Shack.
It really was.
And then Shake Shack screwed up only her order and everyone else's burgers were correct.
Listen, I just want to know if, like, I'm sorry and I just want to know if I can come back another time for one more chance.
I am going to think about it.
Okay.
I think if you bring presents, your chances are getting higher.
Just Shake Shack.
Just Shake Shack.
I feel like I'm getting blackmailed here. But.
You brought this up. I was going to go right past it.
Hey, man, transparency is what it's all about.
Transparency is very important.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. This was very fun. Hopefully it was fun for you too. Be sure to give us some feedback if you loved it. And if you didn't, then maybe give feedback to somebody else. Somebody else sounds like they need feedback more than we do. I think we're doing okay. Listen to this podcast wherever you want to. Be sure to give us a rating wherever you listen to it. Because again, that feels nice. That makes me feel pretty. There are some days I wake up and I'm like, I don't feel very pretty. And then I'm like, oh my God, look, 5-star rating. And then I'm like, God, I am Beyonce. Who, if you're listening, I am so sorry and I love you and I will gladly change my pick if you ask. Don't forget to call our voicemail and leave us some questions that we can use on next week's podcast. That number again is 860-506-5571. We will see you all next week. We'll be in Minnesota, so hopefully we'll have some cool stuff and cool people and we'll talk about cool things. Go Pats!
Go Eagles!
No!
End
it before she says go Eagles. Go Pats!
SimpliSafe Home Security is like getting commercial-grade, enterprise-level security, but for your own home. Think about the security Fortune 500 companies use. They need to know police are going to be on the scene immediately. This is exactly the kind of security you get with SimpliSafe. If there's a break-in, SimpliSafe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of the crime. And that means police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. With SimpliSafe, you get comprehensive protection for your home. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. Entry, motion, and glass break sensors guard inside. Plus, SimpliSafe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poisoning. It's all monitored 24/7 by live security professionals. You can set up your system yourself with no tools needed, or SimpliSafe's experts can do it for you. And it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. Go to simplisafe.com/Nolan today to get free shipping on your order, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplisafe.com/Nolan to save on home security today. Simplisafe.com/Nolan.